from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and we go from talking about the new presidency in Mexico to talking about a rather exciting partnership that's going on that KQED is involved in. And in fact, today, KQED announced its partnership with the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation and PRX, the Public Radio Exchange, in a startup media accelerator, Media Ventures, designed to create a Silicon Valley new innovative startup, designed to start a new innovative startup accelerator for media entrepreneurs. The startup will be funded by $1.25 million investment from both the Knight Foundation and KQED, and we're going to find out in this half-hour segment as much as we can about the specifics. Joining us in studio is President and CEO of KQED Public Media, John Bolin. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Also say good morning to Corey Ford, who's here with us in studio, CEO and partner of Matter Ventures. He formerly led Runway, an accelerator for innovative endeavors, Google Chairman Eric Schmidt's early-stage venture capital firm. Welcome, Corey Ford.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to have you both aboard. And let me begin with John Bolin. And let's begin by, this is a strategic partnership to do what exactly? To move public media into a new era is what I read. But what does that mean?
Well, we're not exactly sure, of course, because, as you know, media is changing so rapidly. But what we do know is that KQED needs to change to meet changing needs of our community because we exist to serve the community. And the needs of the community are changing pretty radically in terms of how they use media, even how content is created and how it's shared and how we interact with each other. And it's really important for KQED to be there for people. We've done a lot of innovative things, as you know. This program is podcast, and it's available on Sirius Satellite, and it's available streaming live. But things are continuing to evolve, and people are moving away from their radios and televisions and much more towards smartphones and laptops and tablets. And there are all kinds of new applications and technologies, not only for content, but also for how you generate the support for that content. And we just feel that we need to both have innovation within KQED, which I think we have a wonderful team, but also tap into the ecosystem here. We're in Silicon Valley. We're where all this is happening. And KQED really needs to have a seat at the table when new ideas are being, you know, germinated so that we can put those to use for the good of the public.
Well, online and mobile audiences are booming, really, as you've kind of intimated. But TV, not doing that kind of boom. Radio's a bit flat, too, even, isn't it?
Yeah. And it was interesting in today's New York Times, along with the story about Matter, there was a story about how all of the networks are experiencing lower ratings. KQED has done better than most, but over a period of the last 10 years, our television audience has gradually been eroding as people move away from traditional scheduled television and they watch things on demand. And they may watch them on cable on demand or through Netflix or through Hulu or YouTube. And now we're beginning to see radio, traditional radio listening flattening out. And that doesn't mean people aren't listening, but it means maybe they're listening to a podcast or maybe they're listening to an aggregator.
We even have a whole new lexicon, you know, time shifting and all of that. I mean, it's changing the whole nature of the landscape here. And we're trying to, I guess this, I'm speaking about we here because this is a partnership with KQED. Media doing good is the language I've seen for positive impact. In other words, spur media innovation. That's really what this is all about. And then somebody's going to say to you, well, $1.25 million, that's a lot of money to come out of capital fund under any circumstances. Money that I give, you know, to KQED, should it be going into maybe what might be termed a risky venture?
You know, that's a very important question, and I think it is. There is risk involved in any kind of investment. I think this is an intelligent risk. I think it's a reasonable risk, but we also should put it in context because KQED spends over $60 million every year providing the services that we now provide to the community through television, through radio, through new media, and through educational services. But what people don't realize in most cases is that above and beyond those funds, we invest $3 million or more dollars a year in the future. And that's something incredibly important because we want to be here in the future providing services that are really relevant to people's lives and really essential. And in order to do that, we have to do everything from replace technology and replace radio transmitters, which cost over $1 million, to invest in innovation. So I think it is a significant amount of money. It's not out of line with what KQED invests every year above and beyond our annual operating budget to ensure the future of the service.
And again, John Boland here with us in studio is president and CEO of KQED Public Media. Corey Ford, let's bring you into this. For our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with accelerators, how exactly will they work, or do you intend for them to work?
So accelerators invest in early stage entrepreneurs, with a what we would call an early stage prototype, something that could change rapidly and probably should change over the 4 months of the program. So what we're doing, applications are open today, and we are we'll be running an application process. Select approximately five startups to invest $50,000 in. And they will come into our space, which we've just opened over near South Park. And when they come in, it's basically a combination of lots of educational programming, what I call design thinking and entrepreneurship boot camps to start. And then we surround them by with mentors, other entrepreneurs, investors, and organizational partners to help them validate their product with their audience or their users, to iterate on their idea and to gain traction with their audience.
You can be right around the corner from where Twitter started, so that geography may be somewhat significant, at least
exactly.
Symbolically. Yeah, and the application deadline is already on online. I mean, people can apply now.
Yep, people can apply now, and applications are due the first week in January, and the first class will kick off at the end of February.
And you use the word disruptors. Want to give us a little semantic highlighting of what you mean by disruptors?
Yeah, so I like to use the word for what we're building, a disruptive playground. The nice thing about what we can do is our entrepreneurs can look at the world from a blank slate. They can ask themselves, what if you wanted to build the next great meaningful media institution today from scratch without having to think of from an institutional perspective, but more saying, okay, what type of technology can we leverage now? What type of new business models can we seek? And I think most importantly, it's about who is our audience? What are their needs? And what are their changing and emerging behaviors? And I think one thing that we can provide is to a partner like a KQED is we can be their outside innovation strategy, because KQED and John, they are they're coming from an institutional perspective, and there's this notion called the innovator's dilemma, which makes it very hard to not think of the world from your own current point of view. So if you're able to attract entrepreneurs with a similar mission to KQED, but to give them the freedom to experiment in ways that they can think about the world from a blank slate, I think lots of interesting innovation can happen.
And John Boland, think about innovation largely with creating and distributing content and raising funds, aren't we?
Exactly, because we have one of the reasons KQED continues to thrive, even as a lot of other media are really struggling in the digital environment, is that our model for support, which is really giving everything away for free and making it very high quality, and then asking those who can afford and care enough to support it, that model actually still works. It doesn't suffer in the same way that advertising does. But we haven't really developed the techniques or the technologies to make fundraising, if you will, or sponsorship online, in mobile, in social media, as effective as pledge drives have been on radio and TV.
And so we've seen technological advancement with respect to pledge drives. People can kind of tune out of those
pledge
drives.
Right, and that's exactly the kind of innovation we're talking about, the pledge-free stream. I think Corey's point is important, though, about outside in. KQED is an incredibly innovative organization, so I know some people are going to say, well, what do you need to do this for with things like pledge-free stream and our approach, our multi-platform approach to science, and the fact that we've continued to grow? And it really is that innovator's dilemma. We can think of innovations here within KQED, but always in the back of our mind is the existing service, the existing radio and television services, and how we can preserve those. So
what we have built.
Yes. And it'll be just very interesting, I think, and very important to our future to have a seat at the table and hear about these ideas that are coming from folks who are very creative and whose hearts are in the right place in terms of, you know, doing good with media. But they don't have those preconceived notions and they don't have those existing operations. They're, as Corey said, it's just blue sky for them.
And Corey Ford, again, is CEO and partner of Matter Ventures. And let's be a little more specific here about some of these early stage prototypes. We're talking about things like participatory platforms, from what I read, mobile applications, B28 media services, and content production engines. I mean, just to give kind of a smattering.
Yeah, exactly. So first of all, what I would say is, you know, we're building a platform to attract entrepreneurs, building a more informed, connected, and empowered society. And they are, you know, I'm a big believer that the world is always going to be smarter than we are, right? So when they say, what exactly are you looking for? The best ideas are going to be ones that we can't predict. But to give a general idea of the space that we're interested in, participatory platforms, you know, think Twitter, what Evan Williams built with Twitter and how it's connected society in that way. Business-to-business services, if it's something that's actually serving meaningful media institutions, such as redesigning Pledge Drive, taking a Kickstarter-type approach to supporting something like public media. We can actually make very good connections for an entrepreneur who's working on something like that. Mobile-first applications. You know, if I was designing something media-related today, I would start with the mobile phone first and work my way up from there. Maybe it's something where with public media-type content, but appealing to a millennial generation, on a mobile-first application with a Kickstarter-type business model. And then I use the term not content, but content production engines to emphasize the point that we're really looking for entrepreneurs who think of their company as a company, as a venture, that they're taking on the business model challenge of what they're doing and not just producing content that's good content and saying, therefore, it should, you know, receive money. I think one of the big challenges in the media that matters space is business model innovation. And we've designed the constraints of our organization in a way so that we can actually foster innovation within the business models behind Media That Matters.
And again, Corey Ford is CEO and partner of Matter Ventures. And let's give another bona fide here. Also produced about 17 productions of Frontline and was involved in Frontline for many years, actually, weren't you?
From 2000 to 2006.
4 years?
Worked on 17 films. My mentor, Michael Kirk, was one of the co-founders of Frontline. And actually, I think a lot about what was public media like in the 70s and early 80s when it was an entrepreneurial playground for somebody like David Fanning and Michael Kirk when they were about 30 years old, who came in and were able to experiment and come up with this show called Frontline, which nobody knew would be a success at the time. Their first show actually was editorially so bad that they almost got pulled off the air. I think we forget when we see institutions that we care about so deeply today, we think they've always been around. But in reality, they were all started by media entrepreneurs in one form or another who took a risk, had a vision, tried some things, iterated, and we're trying to bring a little bit about of that energy back, saying if you have an idea out there, here's a place where you can experiment on that. It may look small at first, but everything big started small.
Well, public broadcasting belongs to you, our listeners. And so I'm interested in finding out what you think about this new venture. It's become a national story. In fact, it was written up in today's New York Times. You may want to weigh in, and we'd like to hear your responses. And also any questions you might have are welcome as well. Our toll-free number is available to you now. It's 866- 833-6786, so feel free to join the program. 866-733-6786 as we talk about the new Matter Ventures, a startup accelerator, which is designed to foster media innovation, popular in Silicon Valley. Startup accelerators offer investment and mentoring and other assistance to entrepreneurs. But really the question, can such a model work for public media? And your thoughts, again, are welcome. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions, excuse me, or comments you have on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment. I'm just thinking about what Corey said about the trajectory of how things change. We should just come on and give a phone number. Now it's email and not only our website, but also you can communicate with us on Facebook, and you can also send a tweet to us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. So things continue to change and innovate. And I want to bring, if I may, Ken Doctor into this discussion, just briefly, news industry analyst for Outsell, and Outsell is a global research and advisory firm. He's the author of Newsonomics, 12 New Trends That Will Shape the News You Get. And Ken Doctor, good to have you back on Forum. Welcome.
Yes, good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Well, what do you think about all this?
It's quite interesting, and I think about it in a couple of ways. I think about it in terms of Silicon Valley, and it is just amazing when you think of what has come out of here and the innovation. So you think of Google search. We didn't know about search much before Google. Social and Facebook and portals and Yahoo and, of course, the Apple revolution. But the funny thing is that we have not had that much big game-changing news innovation. We've got KQED. We've got the Chronicle. We've got the Mercury News. You have California Watch and the Center for Investigative Reporting. But we haven't seen model changing here. And so I think the intrigue, the possibility here is that we could come up with ideas out of these, I think 20 projects are planned, that could be game changers in how we think about media and public media. That said, I think it's a huge challenge. And you look at Silicon Valley and the four companies I mentioned are the ones that we remember. There are hundreds, if probably thousands of companies that have tried big ideas and failed. So out of 20 projects, I think over time, if a few of those catch some fire and have some success, that would be about the average success rate. So it's important to realize both there is a huge possibility here, but also there are long odds against finding that big idea that will really change public media.
Well, Ken, I'm looking at a comment from a listener, David, online, and let's get your response and the response perhaps also of Corey and John to this. David writes, innovators should leverage two trends that favor the medium. Number one, usability is king. It's easier to turn on a radio than it is to tune into a podcast. And two, more workers than ever in this market are working individually or in small groups, and talk radio is a passive social outlet. Replacing the water cooler has a lot of psychological value. You'd say what to that, Ken Doctor?
So this is the question of distribution, and a lot of what PRX, which is one of the founders here, has done is distribution. So is it the reporting that we're talking about, the actual news and media creation that's going to come out of KQED? Are we going to hear more stories originated, or is this a matter of what we'd call in Silicon Valley platform, the way we all get this stuff? You know, we are in home offices, we are, you know, using a tablet instead of a radio, or a radio instead of a newspaper. Is it about distribution, or is it about content creation? And that's going to be a big question, I think, going forward to make a difference. Now, clearly, we all as consumers now are in this all-access world. We expect that we can get your show by podcast as easily as we can by tuning in at 9 o'clock. KQED needs to find, and as I listen to John and Corey, a way to make money off of that. If I'm a member and I pay my membership fee every year, what do I get more with if I pay more? Do I get better access? Do I get wider access? Do I get something else I didn't get before?
John Boland, want to take that on, especially since he mentions new models and platforms
here?
So.
That certainly is one possibility, tiers of access or special benefits for members and contributors. We need to tread carefully around that, however, because we are a universal service that's available to everyone. I think it's a little less about what we give in return than how we ask. And it's sort of how do you ask? What's the technological way that you actually ask on the new platforms? But I think Ken
courteously, made, usually.
Yes. I think Ken made a good point, though, about the question of is it content creation or distribution? I actually think it's both. And I think we've seen developments in both. Perhaps, and this is just a wild guess on my part, a lot of the content creation innovation is coming from within KQED, and we do a lot of that. And some of the ideas we hope will be generated by Matter will be more in the distribution and fundraising and engagement areas. But it's hard to say. There could be a great idea come out of Matter around how to actually create content. And I also think that he's absolutely right. It could be that two of these ideas take off out of 20. It could be that none take off and become the next Twitter, if you will. But that is not the key thing for KQED. There are going to be creative people and ideas and the germs of ideas around technology that are generated by Matter that may never become a successful company, but will enhance our ability in public media to serve the public better.
So at this point, it all remains to be seen. In fact, let me just give you a little sampling of some of the response I'm getting. Heather tweets to us, "I've been a loyal listener for years, and I'm thrilled to hear about Matter Ventures. This level of innovation is rare in radio. But Adam on our Facebook page says, $1.5 million for a four-month program to venture into this? Wow, I'm kind of disappointed. KQED is not a technology company. Besides possible technology to use in tomorrow or in 10 years' time, does KQED get money back on this investment if something makes millions of dollars?"
Well, first of all, it's $1.25 million over 2 years, not $1.5 million over a couple months. And yes, theoretically, KQED will hold an equity interest in all of the companies that come through Matter. And if one of them does become the next Google, maybe we won't need to have so many pledge drives.
Let me go to a calls here, and we begin with you, Karma from Oakland. Hi.
I hear you guys talking a lot about ideas and talking about small projects, but generally with any kind of startup funding, there's some point at which you need to be in the project where, nope, sorry, that's just an idea or your thing's too small. How far along does an entrepreneur need to be in their process of creating this brilliant gem of an idea before you guys are ready to fund it?
Yeah, Corey Ford.
I'm sure I have tons of ideas.
Okay.
Yeah, so our target applicants are existing teams of, I would say, 2 to 4 co-founders covering skill sets in business, technology, design, and storytelling who already have an existing early stage prototype of their idea. That's the target. Now, that said, any entrepreneurs out there who fit our mission and are working on something, I invite for them to apply.
And don't you have, again, I just want to get the details and the specifics, is 4 class cycles with 5 startups? Isn't that the plan for now?
Yes. So we're going to it's a 4-month accelerator program that's launching our first class in February. We'll invest in 5 startups, and then we'll do 2 class cycles a year, 4 total, over 2 years.
Yeah, and let's get the facts right again. $1.25 million over a number of years, not over 4 months, as
right.
John Boland corrected. Let me thank the caller and get right to another caller. Matthew, that's you. Matthew, you're on. Hi.
Great. Hi there. This is Matthew from San Francisco. I have a technology background, and one of the big paradigm shifts I've noticed is a fundamental shift, which is that most of the existing business models are based on relationships between entities which are separate, one party providing another party a service or selling them a product. But in today's world, things are so hyper-connected that there's a fundamental shift happening, which is that there's not really separate entities. So most of the emerging models you see are things like YouTube, where the audience is providing content to itself. And so I'm interested in biomimicry, which is, following nature's patterns to help us innovate. And I'm wondering, if we look at what the body does, for example, the human body, and how does news flow through the human body? How does the body know what's going on with itself? And, you know, using that as a model for where we're headed in a hyper-connected world where there is no separation between audience and provider, you know, between different parts of the whole.
Yeah, let me jump in here because you got a bad line. This technology expert, see to that snap, crackle, and pop. It sounds like Rice Krispies there or something. Ken Doctor, let me go to you on this. He's really talking about a new paradigm, isn't he?
He is, and he's exactly right about the flow of things. And news is a particularly interesting flow because news isn't music or TV shows or movies. Those are all discrete kinds of things, and we're used to getting them through Netflix and Hulu and Amazon, et cetera. So what he's talking about, I think, is an idea, kind of hazy idea that's been out there a while. It'd be great if it comes up through the accelerator here, called iTunes for News. The idea of having, from all these diverse news sources, as these barriers come down, as the caller said, access to news, even in the Bay Area, so that it was more flowing and fluid. You could get your news from KQED or the Chronicle or the Mercury News or KGO. You could see it together. Maybe you pay for it in some way. Maybe it's sponsored in some way. That is an idea that's been out there for a while. But again, that's the kind of big idea that the news industry has been unable to pull off while other kinds of companies have figured it out.
Well, we're coming up to the end of this segment. It's exciting. Lots in the future potential here. And again, people can get involved directly. Want to give out that information again, Corey Ford?
Yes.
For would-be applicants?
Would-be applicants should go to our website, which is www.matter.vc.
Well, congratulations to all, and good luck to you. Again, John Boland, President and CEO of KQED, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Corey Ford, CEO and partner in Matter Ventures.
Thank you.
And thanks again to you, Ken Doctor, news industry analyst for Outsell.
Quite welcome.
And another hour ahead, we're going to talk about all kinds of things having to do with, since that last caller was talking about the body and how important it is to connect things. We're going to talk about connection in terms of the Rockies and all the way up from Canada down to Mexico, the continental spine. And there is a new movement afoot, and you'll want to hear all about it, I hope. It's an environmental and conservation movement. Want to thank those who are responsible behind the scenes for this program. Want to thank our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, and our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. For all of us at KQED Public Radio, stay tuned. Stay where you are. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, owners of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.